supposed to happen at the Indiana Dunes, and when we go to the dunes, there's always a fire thing, and I remember telling Keith, because we did a really cool thing on fire starting the year before, and it's like, man, it would be so cool if we could do another fire thing. And I was thinking about doing this the way God refines us and puts us through the refiner's fire. And it was just sitting and talking at one of the men's Bible studies, and Keith said, you know, I could do something. I could put together like this forge and heat up this metal, and it's like, oh, that would be so cool if you could do that. There's not too many that can. And so he actually, him and Dominic worked off and on and preparing the demonstration that those guys are going to do. So we're going to actually kind of work like simultaneously, and God willing, we'll finish together at the right time. And it'll work out really, really cool. So hopefully he won't just take all of my attention over there, because there's going to be some really cool stuff going on over there. Not so cool up here, but that's okay. And I think you guys will really kind of enjoy this, and the kids will as well. But it's going to be super, super hot. Everything over there is going to be molten metal. That's why I say, guys, the kids really got to be keep an eye on them. Just don't let them up here. Going that way, they're fine. Coming up this way, not so much. Okay? And guys that are familiar with Heartland, we are going to do what we always do. So you guys are going to do the reading of the scripture that's in the phone app. And if you don't have the phone app, that's okay. You can just kind of listen. They'll read for you. They'll read nice and loud so everybody can hear. Okay? Because we can't really project it up on the screen. Okay? And then I'll do a little bit of commentary. So we're actually going to start in the book of Luke, chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. So if somebody could read that for me, it would be greatly appreciated.
If you have moved towards Keith, that's fine. Okay.
And so when John the Baptist comes on the scene, one of the things that he says is, just so you know, there's one that's coming that's greater than I am, and he's going to baptize you different than the ways that I'm baptizing you. Because John was baptizing with water. And he said, the one that follows me is going to baptize with two things. One is the Holy Spirit, and the other is
fire.
With fire. Amen. Okay? The promise was that once Jesus came and died for us and rose again, we would be indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And so you guys, we've talked about that before. And that part sounds really cool. It's like, man, I want that for sure. But then there's this other part where he promises that we're also going to get baptized with fire. Now, guys, what comes to mind when you think about that? Does it sound like something really good, like fun? Or does it sound like something like... Usually when we talk about baptism and fire, it means we're going to go through some kind of trial, test, some adversity, right? Usually that's not a great thing. But nonetheless, it's a promise that Jesus gives to us. Okay, once you come to me, I'm going to change you. And that's going to involve some adversity. It's going to involve some trips through the fire. And that's kind of where we're going to be today. Okay? So if somebody could read for me, and this was actually prophesied in the Old Testament, Zechariah 13:9. Okay, so one of the things that Zechariah, a prophet, and a prophet speaks for God, and so Zechariah is basically telling the people that, just so you know, God is going to bring you through the fire so that you might be refined, so that you might be purified, so that you might become truly His people, okay? And so what's going to happen over here is we're going to take some metal that's not all that useful to us right now. This looks like something really useful, and if it was in Keith's job, but it's not that useful for us up here, and so we're going to change this and stuff like this into something very, very, very different. Okay? And that's what happens when you come to the Lord. He says, one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to change you. Okay? I'm going to take whatever you are, I'm going to make you into something that I can use. And so that's what Keith is going to work on over there. And that's going to start to make some noise. He's going to light a big fire inside of there. Actually, Dominic, his helper, is going to help him with that. And so all that noise that you hear is a really, really big fire going on. Okay? Let's not get too close to it, especially the little guys. Okay? And guys, just so you know, there's lots and lots and lots of references in Scripture to this refiner's fire. So if somebody could read for me the next verse there from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 25. Okay, and so this was the whole way that this came about. Okay, God says, I'm going to purify you the way that metal is refined, the way that we take impurities out of the metal. Okay, and so that's what Keith is doing over there. So that's the refiner's fire. And once that gets hot enough, he's going to melt down some of that metal that is not all that useful so that we can change it into something else. Okay, so we're going to take you through over there the process of refining metal that God says uses as an analogy of what he's going to do with you guys. Okay? Which doesn't sound all that fun. Now, actually, I want you to read the same thing in now in the New Living Translation. Different Bible translations sometimes use different words. And this one uses a word that I really like in its translation. So somebody read that one for me. So God promises you, listen to this, I'm going to melt you down and skim off the slag. You got another word for that, though, don't you, brother?
Dross.
Keith's been calling it dross, but in Scripture it's called slag. It's the same thing, okay? So what we're working on doing over there is, and he's going to show you the slag or the dross when he gets to that. So all the impurities that are in there, okay, once the metal becomes molten, the metal is heavier than all the impurities that are in there, and so it starts to separate, okay? Just like wood and water. Imagine wood frozen in the middle of water, like an ice cube, and it can't go anywhere because it's kind of trapped in there. But once that water melts, once that ice melts, now it's free to move, and the wood floats to the top, okay? And so these precious metals, and usually it's going to be gold or silver, but Heartland's a little bit poor, and so we couldn't afford gold or silver, and so he's using aluminum, okay, which is going to be our precious metal. That's okay. The precious metal is very heavy and it sinks to the bottom, and all the impurities now that are freed up, they begin to float up to the top. Can you imagine that? Okay, and God says, once those impurities begin to float to the top, once I put you through the fire, once you become pliable and moldable, I'm going to skim off that stuff, and we're going to throw it off to the side. And so I bring that up because it's going to take a little bit longer, but that's one of the first steps that Keith is going to go through. So once he gets that aluminum all melted down, there's going to be this impurities that are in there, some of that paint stuff and some of the other stuff that we saw in there, and it's going to float up to the top, and he's going to use whatever it is that he uses. That? It doesn't look like much of a skimmer, but I'm going to trust him because he knows what he's doing. So he's going to get all the impurities and scoop them off of the top. Okay? And that's what God promises to do with us. He's going to put you through the fire. He's going to make you moldable. He's going to change you from the inside out. And the stuff that doesn't belong in there is going to float to the top and it's going to be skimmed away. And guys, just so you know, it's one of those processes that happen over time. It's not an immediate thing. And sometimes we got to go through the refiner's fire more than once. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. Okay, but the question is, why does the metal need to be refined? Do you know? Let's give you a real quick example that maybe you guys are familiar with. Okay, pure gold is what they call 24 karat gold. Have you heard that before? Okay, and we make jewelry out of gold. Gold is one of those things that's really cool, very precious, easy to mold and manipulate. But we don't make jewelry out of 24 karat gold. Why not? It's too soft. It won't hold its shape. You know, you bang your ring into something, it will collapse. Okay? Now, I remember my dad gave me a couple of rings from his grandfather. And in those days, they made jewelry out of 18-karat gold, which is 18 parts out of 24. And so fairly pure gold. It was still fairly soft, but also extremely expensive these days. And so little by little, they've kind of toned back on the amount of gold that's in gold jewelry. Okay, and then after that, it went from 18, then it went down to actually 14 karat gold, which is what my class ring was made out of. And now if you get a class ring from school, I don't know if it has gold in it or not, but it's probably more like around 10 or 8 karat gold. Okay, less and less and less and less. Okay, and so they mix some other things in there. But one of the things that mixing that other stuff in there does is it makes it harder and less moldable. Now, for jewelry, that's right. Once you mold it, you want it to hold its shape. You don't want it to be flexible. You don't want it to be moldable. You don't want it to change its shape. You want it to hold its shape. And so it's important, okay, that we mix in the impurities, and they do that, okay? One of the characteristics of metal is what they call malleability. It's malleable. Malleable means that it can be shaped. It can be formed, okay? And what God is looking for in us is people that he can shape, mold, form, okay? We need to be malleable. And in order for that to happen, just like with metals, a lot of the things that have dominated us on the inside, the impurities, need to go. It's one of the things that makes us hard of heart. It makes us hard of character. And some of the things that need to go, and one of the things that happens when you give your life to Christ, or you decide to become a Christ follower, is that refining process begins. And guys, I wish I could tell you that it's very pleasant, but sometimes it is not. Okay? But it is what it is. And so in order for us to be used by God, we have to go through this refining process. Now, in John chapter 15, it talks about another refining process that's called pruning. How are we doing over there, boss?
Paint's burning off.
The paint's burning off? Is it smelling?
Yeah, smelling just started. It'll fade away.
We're getting rid of some of the dross.
Yes.
Some of it is actually becoming a vapor. Yeah. Okay? And so, guys, I want you to think about this for a little bit. So, one of the things that happens is God promises there's going to be pruning. Pruning is stuff that goes away from on the outside. Like, sometimes we know when we come and we want to change our life, that means some of our old friends that have been very toxic in us, in our lives, and caused us to move down a different path, sometimes we need to get rid of those. And sometimes God will prune those out of our life. Okay, it could be like a work situation, it could be an environment, but a pruning involves things that are on the outside, okay, and that's one of the first things that happens, okay, and at the same time, we begin this refining process, okay, refining is the things that are on the inside, the things that we can't see so well, or sometimes they show up, but the things that need to go away. So, guys, let me just ask you, what are some things that, in order for you to be usable by God, that probably need to go? I'll help you out with this. Like I said, not things from the outside, not poor, like not bad company, not a terrible job that takes you away from your family and
pride.
Pride is definitely one of those things. It's one of those things that's a character defect. It's one of those impurities within us that needs to go. We can't be used by God if we're prideful. Selfishness is the next one. Selfish desires, okay? One of the things that God is going to want from us is a Christ desire and not so much a selfish desire. It becomes less about me and more about other people, especially God's people, and becomes about God. Okay, I'm just going to kind of push through the list here a little bit. Okay, bitterness.
Fits of rage.
Say it again.
Fits of rage.
Fits of rage. Anger, resentment, okay, self-pity, jealousy, selfish desires, rebellion. The list goes on and on and on. Okay, those are the impurities that we carry within us. Okay, that need to go. And unfortunately, a lot of the times, what that means is we need to go through a little bit of adversity, right? We need to be put through the refiner's fire so those things can be boiled up from the inside and God can skim those off and change our lives, okay? That's the refiner's fire that we're talking about, okay? It sounds like something is happening over there, so I'm going to stop for just a second. I see the droth skimmer, the slag skimmer going into the fire. Not yet? Okay, we'll keep going then. Okay. So, I need somebody to read for me again. Let's go to actually Proverbs 25, now verse 4.
Remove the impurities from silver and the sterling to be ready for the
So it says, and this is the reason why all those things have to go, right? Once we remove the impurities, the silver is ready now for the smith, right? We have too many things that keep us from being able to be molded and changed and brought to a place where God can actually use us, and all of those things need to go. All right. The next verse is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 20.
In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master.
So although the refining process is not all that much fun, in the end, we become something special that God can really use. There's utensils that are used for a lot of different things, utensils of wood. I'm not going to talk about all the tools that we use that probably we wouldn't want to be one of those tools, okay? But then there are the special ones, right? When company comes and you get out to find silver, right? You get out the stuff that's really, really nice. And so it is with God. As He refines you, He prepares you for special work. And sometimes, oh man, when is God going to be able to use me? Well, when you have been refined to the point where He can have His will and His way with you. And sometimes that happens quickly. Sometimes it happens a little more slowly. Guys like me that are very prideful and very resistant and very rebellious, that took a very long time. Okay, I wasn't really refinable until I was in my 40s, okay, just so you know. But God is relentless, and He will continue. And some of the fire that I had to go through, I would never want to have to go through that again. And so I'm going to try to keep those impurities out of my life so I don't have to go through that particular fire, although it's still an ongoing process. All right. Let's go ahead and read now from Proverbs 17. So the interesting thing about the way that God refines us is it's not just the things that can be seen from the outside. I mean, we can pretend to be a certain way, but ultimately, God looks at the heart. He knows whether you're doing something because you feel like you need to, or because you finally have gotten to the point where you actually want to. Okay? And so we're looking to get rid of those things, even though you may appear to be fairly refined, that still dwell within your heart. And so the refining process continues. Even if it's like, Lord, I'm doing everything that you want. Yeah, but you don't have the right attitude. And so we're going to work on next, an attitude adjustment. Those are the parts that are even really more hard, okay? And so the next question is, how does that happen? How does the refining actually happen? Well, let's look at now 1 Peter. Here's where the hard part comes. That's one of those things that's hard to listen to. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Okay, I still see some lips moving, so I was not going to keep going. But here's the scary part. It's like, this is going to make sure that your faith is actually genuine. Like I say, we can be pretenders. We can pretend like we're doing the things that God wants us to do because we think that there's some reward, there's some extrinsic thing. We can do it out of a number of different reasons. But God wants us to serve Him and be obedient to Him out of love for Him. Love and respect, that's what it boils down to. It's the same thing we talk about with our kids all of the time. You know what I mean? I can force my kids to be obedient. But that's not really what I want from them. I want their love and their respect. so that when I ask them to do something, they do it because they love me and because they know that I have their best interests at heart, not just because they're afraid of what will happen to them if they don't, or because I've restricted them or grounded them or done all of those other things. I want them to make good choices because they love me. And so it is with God. He wants your heart, not just your hands. And so he will test you. And Peter says, you must endure many trials for a little while. Uh-oh, I'm hearing something happening over there. Is something happening over there?
Almost.
I'm not sure what that means, but we'll keep going. And so that when your faith remains strong through those trials, God will receive the glory. And guys, that's what it's really about. Now, let's go just a little bit farther. Now in Job chapter 23, verse 10.
He knows the way I think. When he has tried me, I shall come forth.
One of the promises that we get, guys, is as hard as it is along the way, if we're willing to endure, if we're willing to sustain out of that, God says, eventually you will come forth as gold, which means the most precious metal that we can imagine. In other words, God says, I'm going to turn you into something that is going to be very, very valuable to me. Okay? So here's the next thing. So we got to go through these trials. And a lot of them are to get rid of our pride, our selfishness, our bitterness, our resentment, all of those things that are keeping us from being what God needs us to be. So the question is, how many trials do I have to go through? At what point am I like done with this refining process? Okay, well, we get an idea in Psalm 12, verse 6.
The Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over.
Okay, so we read there, the purest silver and the purest gold is refined seven times. That's not too many. I think I've been through seven trials already. Wouldn't you agree, honey? Unfortunately, in the Bible, seven usually doesn't actually mean the number seven. And those guys that are with me on Wednesday nights as we're going through the book of Revelation, I've taught them that there are some numbers, okay, that have significance outside of their actual number value. Okay, so one of my guys from Wednesday night, what's significant about the number seven?
Perfect.
Say it again, Jay. Seven is the complete and perfect number. Okay, and so in the Bible, when you read seven, it means until it's complete and perfect. It doesn't mean seven times, okay? I've gone through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 trials. That means I got one more and I'm done. What it means is I'm going to have to go through until the process is complete and I have become as pure gold, perfect. So guys, unfortunately, I can't tell you how many more trials you're going to have to go through. I can't tell you how many more trips through the fire. But I can kind of suggest to you, how do I know, or how does God know when it's time and we're done? How does this, we'll go back to the analogy over here, and this won't turn out quite as good because we're not dealing with silver and gold, we're dealing with aluminum over here, which isn't quite as precious, but one of the characteristics of metal is the purer it becomes, the more shiny it becomes. Did you know that? Okay? And so one of the things that happens with my ring, it's not nearly as shiny as it could be because it's only 14 karat gold. And so I can see my reflection a little bit in there, but it's kind of fuzzy and blurry. You know what I mean? I don't have a perfect reflection like a mirror. Okay? If it were indeed 24 karat gold, I would be able to see my reflection perfectly in that gold jewelry. Okay? And so the silversmith or the goldsmith, they know that the process is complete when they can see their reflection perfectly in the metal. Okay? And so what is God going for in us through this refining process? We have to go through it seven times. The complete number, the perfect number. Okay? He's looking to see his own reflection in us. Okay? The cool thing is, every single time we remove the purities, it becomes a little bit more shiny. Right? It becomes a little bit more so that I can see. But God knows when you're done, when now he can see his reflection in your life. And that's that seven times. All right, brother man. Is it ready? Okay. Is that complete? Keith is going to keep working on that. Okay. Now, the cool thing is, once he gets to the end of this, because I'm just about at the end, but that's okay. And he can keep going. Because there's a couple things, guys, we're going to have you guys do. One of them is we're going to take communion together. Okay? The good thing is, once you give your life to Christ, and we have some people that are being baptized, okay, and you say, Lord, have your way with me, finally the process can begin. When I'm going to live my own life and I'm doing my own thing, God is going to allow that to happen. Because he knows that you're going to set yourself on fire over and over and over again until you finally reach the point where you recognize that there's something better that he has for you. Okay? And that's when you're willing to say, okay, Lord, I've made such a big mess out of this. I want you to change me. I don't want the life that I've had before. I want things to change. And sometimes you think, oh my goodness, great. Once I give my life to Christ, everything's going to start to be perfect right away. All the problems are going to go away. And guess what? They don't. That's when the process really begins. That's where the refining now can happen. Once I have this willing spirit, and the fire now comes down upon us, we get that baptism of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the strength and the desire to endure the fires that we're going to have to work through, and as God refines us. Okay, so as Keith is finishing up here, guys, we're actually going to do a couple of things because we don't want to go too long. I still want to get baptisms in before there's any lightning, which would kill that. And so we're going to do two things. We're going to have you guys take communion. We always take communion. What is that?
Dross.
Slag? Dross? Hold that up again. So guys, do you know where that came from? Off the top of the now molten metal. That's the stuff that's keeping it from being perfectly refracted. That's the stuff that keeps Keith from being able to see his reflection in there. Can you see a reflection in that molten metal? And there it goes. He's probably going to have to refine this several times. But once he gets rid of that stuff, one of the other things that you see over here, and oops, I don't want to get too close to that, make you guys scream. Okay, this little mold, okay? God knows what he's going after. And so this morning, Keith made a mold out of sand. It's that little box that you see up here in the front. Can you see that? Okay? He knew exactly what he was after, and so he made this mold. Okay? And in just a second, once he's gotten rid of all the rest of that slag or that dross that's on the top, he's going to take that molten metal, he's going to pour it into that sand mold, and as it sets up inside of there, it's going to take on a new form and a new shape. He can do that because he's gotten it hot enough that it is now formable. It's moldable. It's pliable. And that's what God is after. Are we taking it out of there now, boss? This is the part where it gets really scary because it's going to splatter all over the place. So if you're in the front row like where Corey is, you might be dead, just so you know. Can you see how shiny it is? And he's taking the excess and he's kind of pouring it in these little ingots so that we can reuse some of that. Okay, he's in just a second. How long before you can take that out of there, Keith? Very soon. So hang in there. Hopefully this is like the part that's really cool. So I don't know if you can see very well, but there's one hole where he poured it in. There's another hole for it to come out. So he knows that the mold is filled when it starts to come out of the second hole. Are we cool? And so it kind of came out. And man, if you can look from my angle, Dominic, go over here. Come a little bit closer. Be careful, though. I want you to see if you can see your reflection in that molten metal. Can you see your reflection? Pretty pretty much. It's not quite good enough. We're probably going to have to do a little bit more refining. But it's pretty darn shiny from here. One of the bad things about aluminum, guys, that we don't find in silver or gold is it has a tendency to oxidize pretty quickly. And so as it's sitting here, it's already starting to get that new dross. The new impurities are starting to build up on the surface of it. So aluminum is probably more like us. We're not quite so much like silver and gold. You know, pretty soon it doesn't take very long and we start to new things start to stick to us, and God has to refine us over and over, which is why the process is ongoing. Okay, I'm killing time here for you, buddy, so let me know when you're ever ready to make a move. Still too not molten. Okay. So, two things, guys, while we're sitting here. Number one, we are going to take communion together. And so there should be communion in these, like, nice little, the wafer and the wine together, so we don't have to pass cups around and bread plates around. So if we get, whoever has those near them, if you could start to pass those across, okay? And then one more thing I'm going to do. Corey, could you reach up here and
yes.
Get those crosses?
Yep.
I thought I had one up here, but somebody must have. Oh, it fell. And okay, so that you can remember this experience, you'll see in just a second why.
Oh, look at Wade.
Okay. I taught in the classroom for like 30-some years. One of the things that you like to do with people to anchor things is you give them some kind of a tactical reminder, what they call an anchor. Okay, and so for all of you guys that were here today, we have these little aluminum crosses as a tactical anchor for what you just witnessed. Okay, and as Teeth extracts that from the mold, guys, we're going to take communion together. And then by the time we get done, he should probably be done with a lot of that. That's not really an easy process that he's going through. So I'll kind of give you a little bit. And you can kind of work on this, but in Scripture we're always told that we shouldn't take communion lightly. This should be something that we spend a little bit of time with self-reflection before we do it. Okay? And so we're going to take just a couple of minutes while Keith is working on that. As tempting as it is to watch him, I want you to self-reflect a little bit on maybe some of the impurities that God still needs to refine out of your life. Because I don't care where you're at, I don't care how many times you've been through the fire, guys, I can guarantee you you're not done yet. God's not done with you. You're not complete. You're not perfect, and so it's going to continue. And you can pray about that. You can pray that you can endure those trials without wavering in your faith. It doesn't remove us from the fire. It just prolongs it. And so you want to get through those trials as quickly as you can. Have God have His way with you so that you can be refined and purified.